All right, bulletin question. From last week. The New Testament admonishes Christians not to do certain things, but rather do what things? I got a pretty long list here on this one. So I'm gonna speed through it a little bit. We'll hit them, but I really like the question. I want to just preface it by saying, inherent in this question, inherent in the scripture we're going to see for the answer to these questions, we're admonished not to do certain things, but rather do what things? There's a choice, isn't there? There's always a choice. And, you know, one of the, probably the most detrimental effect of Calvinistic teachings, it really tries to absolve people from their personal responsibility. And, you know, take that away from the lost and take it away from Christians. And the scripture is, you know, it always is admonishing. Okay? In place of this, this. And one other really key point here, I think my dad has, you know, always kind of emphasized this, and there was an a cappella song that was, you know, a pretty good song. The end of it said something like, or one of the lines, wasn't the end of it, one of the lines and one of the verses said, he taught me how to stop doing those things. And my dad had us kind of change the words. He taught me how to start doing good things. And one thing we're going to see as we work through this is the scripture always gives a, in place of this. You know, it's lay aside the old man and it's put on the new man. So, are we adjusted right, Mr. Schaefer? Cool. Okay. Good. I'm just loud today. All right. What do we got, Super Dave? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 5, and 6. Okay. I was a little later, but okay, so these are the 12 that Jesus sent out. He told them, this wouldn't really apply to us. He told them, don't go in the way of the Gentiles, don't enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That transitioned at Jesus' resurrection and ascension. So that's what the 12 were told to do. We're told what? To go into all the world. Okay, Larry. Ephesians 5, verse 4. It's another one. Yeah, let me get there here. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. This is a big one that's been hit here recently, and something I find... It starts early. I had to have a chat with my younger son, getting that age, and he was telling me, you know, Dad, got one of my buddies is talking about stuff, and we get some of this discussion isn't always appropriate. And said I try to say, hey, let's not do this, and then kind of sometimes names come back at me, or I'm getting. Make you feel uncomfortable for taking a stand. And so we talked a little bit about that, and actually Jared's message was really good. It gave him an opportunity for them to have a discussion about this. But, you know, what Caleb said is, he said, we need to focus on what's appropriate. And I thought, Caleb, that's perfect word usage, because what this is about is focus, isn't it? In place of, what should our focus be? And the place of here is rather giving of thanks. You know, there's the coarse jesting and the silly talk. It's really easy to, I mean, here we got the rampant immorality on one side, and then there's the stuff that's the, what would we say, just slightly off color? You know, the little transitionary stuff, and you, well, that's not too bad, and you can kind of go along or laugh or, Or you can say, hey, let's focus where we should focus. Okay? Rather giving of thanks. So that's a big one. What else we got? Mike. It is.
I struggle with that a lot. And I'm thankful for your comments because it's been on my mind just even more this morning. It's all depending on how we're going to put this in.
You know, it's a challenge, Mike, because you can't say stuff every time that the world... I mean, if you say stuff every time that the world is inappropriate, like... That's all that the conversation, you know, and people, but taking scenes of the right, I actually remember when I worked at JCPenney's, and, you know, lots of times we think of guys typically are bad this way, and I think men are more inherently, it's more acceptable for men to do that stuff, but I remember walking into the break room at JCPenney one day, and one of the lady managers, who I liked, we had a good relationship, and a couple other gals, but she was like, you probably don't want to be in here for this conversation. I was like, okay, thanks. You know, I grabbed the newspaper and headed out. They weren't going to change what they were talking about, but at least they told me, hey, you probably aren't going to want to be in on this. Okay, thanks, you know. So we can't, you know, the scripture is going to tell us expose the deeds of darkness, which we need to do. But there's, you know, there's an appropriate way to do that, too. When I mentioned I'd gone to that little block party. And one of the guys, you know, right away started joking around on what kind of drinks he wanted mixed for. You know, he knew that's not what I'm interested. But they're always pushing, and we have to push back in the right ways and take stands. And so, a focus. Romans chapter 14, what was that? 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I think this is a really important one. We could go forever on this, so I need to pick it up. But it is really easy, brethren, to sit in your chair from your vantage point and judge a brother or sister. It's really easy to say, man, they need to, why are they, why? And again, the focus, that's the wrong focus. The focus should be what? Hey, let's help them out. Let's make sure we're not creating more of a problem. You guys know yourself by experience. If you're tripping and stumbling, the last thing you need is really somebody to keep telling, you know, to say, why do you always do that? What you need is you need someone to help you out. Help you learn how to get over. And so, but rather, what else we got? I do with my list. I know there's a list, big list here. Uncle Dave.
Ephesians 4.
Well, I ended up in Ephesians 5:28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives. Probably a good one, but Ephesians 4:28. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. I like this whole section. Lay aside, put on. Put this away, do this. I don't know all the reasons why people steal, but sometimes people initially steal because they have a need. And instead of learning to work hard and develop and work through, they are going to try to take the shortcut. And so, as Christians, no more stealing, but instead what? Let's labor. Let's work hard. I remember Kevin preached on this not too long ago. It was a good one. What else we got? Larry. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. It's difficult enough to want to follow leadership, right? So when there's young leadership, I think it's particularly difficult. And so the scripture says here, instead of let no one look down on your youthfulness, how does that work? What a lot of guys do is they puff out their chest and they say, I'm the boss sort of thing. This is the way. That's not the scriptural answer. The scriptural answer, the way that you don't let somebody look down on your youthfulness is by these things, show yourself an example of those who believe. Best leadership is example. And solves the problem. Takes a little bit longer, I think, sometimes for young guys and young men and women to establish that. But when you do that, who can argue with it, right? Super Dave. That's true. But a lot of people, that's not their perspective. And so, you know, youthful leadership, you know, you wanna be an example in these areas. What else we got? Mike W. 1 Timothy 2. Nine and ten. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as befits women making a claim to godliness. There's always pressure on the external. And, you know, again, this happens. You got to start dealing with this at a young age, too. There's just everything in our society is pitched to for instant attention. And immodest dress gets girls instant attention. And so this is part of the challenge it goes back to, and we got to teach our girls, and we want to carry ourselves in the right way. What's the focus? You know, I actually, Elena had Madeline in our row today, and I said, oh, Madeline, you look so pretty. You have I like your nice purple dress. And then I was like, and your smile, I really like, but, you know, I think because sometimes you can get, even at a young age, you can get the focus off of what the, you know, the clothing is or what the, and what's the real thing? The real thing is the inner person, right? That's what God wants us to work on. What else we got? Super Dave. 1 Timothy 5:1. I think I have that one. Oh, yeah, I do. It's a good one. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. So, I like how here Timothy is, a young evangelist, and Paul tells him the way that he should conduct himself with different types of people. Again, sometimes there can be, I think particularly in stressful situations, there can be a way that you want to deal with something and you want to sharply rebuke. But the scripture says the right way to do this is to appeal. Good. What else? I think I got two more. Larry. Yeah, I counted it. Verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So you got to get yourself on a straight path, don't you? You got to get yourself, again, it really, a lot of this stuff comes back to focus. Instead of what? Boom, focus. This reminds me of Proverbs, you know, basically, my loose paraphrase is put the blinders on. Go, make straight paths for your feet. So instead of being lame and crippled and going down that path, hey, these things can be strengthened. Mike.
Kevin has taught me as long as I can remember, and being in Christ, is that if you're having issues, go help someone else, teach someone else, get a Bible study. If you're struggling in certain
What? Exactly. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I understand, Kevin. I say the same thing, and I'm going to even preach that a little bit today. Of course, you have to have a certain amount of strength yourself. Sometimes I have to tell people, hey, probably want to focus on what's right in front of you, because sometimes people will run anywhere else other than dealing. But overall, I agree with that, Mike. If you focus on what you're supposed to be doing, and that's legitimately loving the Lord and legitimately helping other people, then yeah, you're gonna walk straight. So, what else? Jared? Did we? We skipped. I have Matthew 10:28 written down, but I don't think we jumped from 10:4. And I meant to while I was there. This one is applicable for sure. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this verse is going to show up in the message today, but this is a good one. Fear of men brings a snare, doesn't it? Okay. But here we got rather. Again, if our focus is right. And you know, if we're going through this fast. I'm not going through it very fast, but the devil plays a game, and he's pretty successful at it, and it's called out of sight, out of mind. And human beings are there, Mike, whether it's we're working with them and we have to figure out how to deal with them, or whether they're in governmental positions or bosses or, you know, whatever, there's a certain amount of authority, a certain amount of pressure that we have to deal with from them. But in order to have it in the right perspective, Jesus reminds us, what can these guys do? The worst they can do is destroy your body. What can God do? He has control of your body and soul for eternity. So, all right. I got one other one, I think. The fact that nobody else is raising their hands making me... Okay. 1 Corinthians 7:21 is what I got. I can see why. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather than do that. There's not a but, rather. It's not an in place. So. All right, let's get into Acts. Acts chapter 4. In verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed sitting with him, they had nothing to say in reply. And when they had ordered them to go aside out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that's in them, who by the Holy Spirit to the mouth of our father David, your servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place to the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place that they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. To figure out exactly where I'm at today in this, but I know, you know, the great thing about it, guys, is we do have help. You know, Justin Bolton's opening, the Lord does push us sometimes beyond, I know He does, beyond what we personally can handle. You know, Steve Doty says if you're doing what you could be doing without the help of the Holy Spirit, what are you doing, you know, now as a Christian from before? And so the Lord puts it, I was thinking when Justin was doing this, these guys could go longer than they thought they could, for one thing. Justin kept making them go, you guys aren't done, you know, you can't, we can go further than we think we can. And the Lord's a perfect coach, and He's going to push us to those boundaries. He's going to give us help when we need. Every once in a while, you feel that little, and all of a sudden, it's not just your whole body's off the ground. Yeah, all right. Thanks for that help. But you know, we do have help, and that should give us confidence. And these guys had that confidence. They really, their enemies could not cope with the help that they had of the Holy Spirit. And so we know, we talked about how the trial gets kind of changed around. And I think that's really a key point. One of the things that as Christians, particularly as we get more and more into a public setting of you know, the opposition gets a little more legal, you know, in this country, we got to realize our mission is still to help other people, no matter who it is, understand their accountability before God. Isn't that our goal? You know, think about all the prophets. You know, they would rail against the kings, wouldn't they? Why did John the Immerser end up getting his head chopped off? Yeah, you're sinning. It's not lawful for you to have her. You know, so that if we understand, actually, we don't fear men, but we fear God. We can turn those things, and you know, people do have a conscience. We talked about that last time. We're trying to push those buttons. And so, in 17 and 18, the council says, in order that this is after they go outside and they're having their own private discussion here, in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. So when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Here, again, it's interesting. There's always there's a public message, you know, and we're bombarded with that all the time. But you ever wonder what goes on behind the doors of the big boys, like in their meetings? What's the meeting? The Bilderbergers that no media is ever allowed to? Or, you know, at least it's not allowed to be reported on? I wonder what they talk about behind those closed doors. I have my guess. But I wonder how honest they are, because what we get in the media is never honest. I wonder how honest they are in their closed discussions. I'm sure that the smaller groups sometimes get fairly honest. Here, these guys are pretty honest. Hey, nobody else is around. Let's just call it what it is. We don't want this to spread any further among the people. This thing's gonna get out of control on us if we let it keep going. Now, implied in that, guys, why didn't they not want it to spread any further among the people? We've talked about this. They had their place and their position. Truth's an amazing thing. Let's go to John chapter 8. I know we know this, but Mike W., what's Steve Doty say about truth? truth concealed has no power, right? Truth concealed is basically, it doesn't do any good. But truth revealed is powerful. And in John chapter 8, Jesus says, and I'm just going to pick verse 32. This is a little context that's relevant to go into this. But he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth has the ability. Truth has the power to set people free. And that's true across the board in any arena. Okay? Specifically, Jesus talking about it in reference to freedom from sin. But it's also true in the political realm. It's also true in the realm of economics. It's a truth. Truth, when it comes forth, it has the ability to set people free in whatever area that we're talking about. So, in case you haven't realized, there are always people who, their goal in life, their agenda, is to enslave other people around them. You can go big, you can go small. You know, why do some of your family members, why are they masters of manipulation? Because they like to control. That's why. They want to enslave. They want everybody else jumping when they say jump, and, you know, marching when they beat the drums, and all. People that do that. Well, and then you go, there's higher levels of this, of course. And right now, if you look at the global landscape, there's some people behind the scenes that have a lot of power. And really, they pretty successfully have serfs working on their global plantation the world over. Now, I don't think they're done yet, because at some point, you know, when there's nothing left to squeeze out of the golden eggs, there's no more golden eggs from the goose, then it's going to be just about pure control and power. Right now, there's still some economic things to be gained by, you know, only, you know, just by having you pay a substantial amount of what you earn into taxes. But as that shifts and there's just not much more to gain, I think we're going to see more and more on the just flat out open control. You will do what we tell you to do. You don't have, I mean, I'm just talking about for America. There's many places in the world right now that that's the case. But globally, you know, they're still fairly quiet about it. And it's still fairly hidden. But their goal is to enslave. And so what do they have to do to keep people enslaved? Yes. Hide truth. What, John? Suppress the truth is scriptural terminology, right? Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because truth has the power to set people free. So, would you say, Larry, control the information? Okay? This is what the council is saying. How are we going to spin this, guys? It happened. Now, how are we going to put the right spin on it so that as this gets out into the populace, that we can control this? I'm sure that those are issues all the time. That the powers that be in our world have to try to figure out how to spin things. Rancher PBS. Thank you, Mr. Sims. The Pharisee Broadcasting System. Yes, I like it. Okay. And I still like the old Soviet newspaper Pravda, right? They have one now? Yeah. Truth, right? Truth. What, you know, just, anyways, the people are the same, and they're afraid of truth really getting forth. And so that's why, ultimately, you read this, you know, the book of Revelation, guys, and the battle isn't against flesh and blood. The battle really isn't about having human slaves on a global plantation. The battle really is about Satan wants his slaves. He wants people that will be in misery with him for eternity. And so the battle really gets ultimately is against the church. And so you gotta understand, and I need to be more motivated this way. Reading, you know, going through the book of Acts, one of the things I find your voice. How long, guys, are we gonna have freedom? to have the voice the way that we do right now. I do know enough about habits, and I do know enough about myself to know if when the pressure gets cranked up, I'm not all of a sudden going to find my voice. You know, it's sometimes people say, well, persecution's a good thing for the, you know, persecution's a good thing because it makes the, you know, persecution makes things more public. Okay? But it's not a good thing if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? And so there is this suppression of truth, and it's coming, and how are we responding to it? You know, do we have the courage still to talk about some of the things that are really politically incorrect right now? You know, just.
You take the truth on a physical scale, and how it's trying to be controlled. You look at some of the breakthroughs and some of the health issues that people have been able to find to be able to help control and help cure some diseases. And you look at the way that some of that thing, how it's gone down, how some of these things have been shut down just for some physical things. Now take that to a spiritual thing. Look how much more it's going to be pushed to be able to try to shut that down.
Great point, Justin. You know, in any arena, but you look at the health, you look at the health field, right? And in the, hey, there's a lot of information that's purposely concealed. Why? Because it actually would set people free from some of our pharmaceutical companies, etc. It's not in their benefit. And there's a lot of money behind that. And if that goes on in this little physical realm, how about the spiritual realm? Great point.
I think you can't underestimate, or actually, you know, what really Satan's agenda is definitely targeted at us, mm-hmm. but his bigger agenda is targeted at kids. It is just pounding on kids. We watched this movie last night. I thought it'd be a fun, you know, action flick called Lucy. It was so filled with evolution all over the place, and we're just, you know, accidents, and, you know, and I heard on, earlier this week, NPR, I don't know why I listen to that, but it said, talked about our relatives, the, you know, dogs or coyotes or whatever, and it's just, this evolution is pushed and pushed and pushed, and, you know, if we aren't actively engaged in getting the truth to our kids, they will get the lies of the world because it's being pushed in the media, it's being pushed in the movies, the music, television, and public schools don't even, I mean, it's huge. So, you know, how important is, you know, the Christian school? It's huge. If you're, you know, how important is it if you're not a part of that homeschool? You talked about last week, you mentioned the Linda Road, you know, where we assembled in Idaho. And yeah, they were, you know, especially the older folks, they were solid. The others, they were a little easier going, but they had lost their kids because their kids, they had no school system. Well, a couple were homeschooled, the rest were public school. And you could just, I did some classes with the kids, and it was horrible. So, you know, the lies, if they can't get us with the lies, they're going to get our kids. Right. And so we got to be actively engaged in making sure our kids know the truth.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. The best slaves, ones that don't realize they are. And if you can start them that way. So, you know, one, and I would just say, yeah, as parents, guys, we gotta talk to our kids, you know, moms and dads. But, you know, I'm a dad, so I'll say it to me, you know, be a dad. Talk about the things that are important. Have family devotions. Talk to your, you know, go through Proverbs with your boys. Go through, so you can talk about this, you know, all areas of this stuff. There's somebody on Bible Slam with right now, and the dad, I can tell, is, you know, he believes in a creator. He believes in intelligent design. He believes that, I think he would say he believes in the God of the Bible, you know. But his daughter is, he never actively did anything. His daughter's gone through the public school system, and I think it's been a little bit of a surprise to him at what a strong adherence she was to evolutionary thinking. But what, you know, he never thought about talking about this stuff with her, and, you know, that's what's happening, and it is being shaped every which way. And so, you know, we gotta guide and steer and teach and with great patience and instruction, right?
I went through that with my son, the difference is I didn't know the truth at that time. And I had some kind of idea. I mean, I believed in God. I believed in creation versus evolution. But I didn't realize how bad they were hitting the kids until my kid came home and we started talking about it. And he just flat told me, I believe in evolution. And so we kind of started bringing up, talking about it a little bit. And he tried to explain it to me, you know. And, of course, I didn't have the truth. I didn't know how to explain it to him the right way. And then the next thing I knew, he came home and was telling me that he was gay, you know. And that's hard for a parent. It's real hard. Because I had no idea what they were teaching in school, and that's where he got it from.
Yeah, that's, you know, being sheep that way. I was, you know, of course, with that stuff being shoved at us all the time, every which way, but some people that are branded that way, you know, if it wasn't being pushed and promoted and explored and, you know, all, you just say, you know, has a different personality. But instead, it's like, oh, if you're, well, then you got to be, you know. Anyways, truth, guys, is being suppressed. All sorts of information control, all sorts of falsehood, and all sorts of spin, and all. And what's our job? Mark Taylor, his words are, we got to put truth back out in the marketplace of ideas. You know, we can't make choices for people, but I want people to be able to see truth and make their choice based off of that information. So, their solution is, let's warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Guys, this is coming. This is coming. Oh, you can still call yourself a Christian church. You'll be able to have a Christian church, I think, for a long time. That name. You'll be able to mention the name of Jesus. You'll be able to. What you can't do is say, this is what Jesus says. This is coming. And we are going to. If things continue on their path and there's nothing to make. Matter of fact, I see things accelerating rapidly. I think a number of us are going to, in our lifetime, we're going to find ourselves right here. Do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. It might not be phrased that way, but you cannot say, you cannot teach, you cannot da 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 da.
I just find it interesting that I think it's important for us to keep this in mind, is that pretty much everything we say or do anymore is recorded, one way or another. And especially if, you know, you look at things like Facebook and whatnot. Facebook is a great medium to get the truth out there. It's also a horribly bad place to put things that really contradict what Scripture says about who we are and what our goal is and so on and so forth. So our example has to go a long way. But I guess keep in mind that everything that's out there, as far as, you know, on us individually, and, you know, we stream and we record and we put stuff out there, so we're willingly giving that stuff out. It can be used against us, and it will be. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that the character that we show when we're here needs to be exactly who we are when we're in the world. So we're not saying one thing while we're here in the safe environment, quote unquote safe environment, when we go to work and we act, for lack of a better term, we act like hell. And everybody else around us said, what, Rhett, you're a Christian? Wow, that's surprising. I mean, our example has to go a long way because, you know what, to a certain extent, that may or may not, that may save us. And,
yeah,
you know.
That's a good point. I mean, they're just, as this opposition gets cranked up, they'll pull out everything against us. So, yeah, I remember, you know, Hop talked about that some years ago. You know, when we're, you stream, you realize, and it will be. You've seen it. People, they've used what, who was it, Dallas recently that wanted the Houston, thank you. That, you know, they wanted all the messages or the, hey, here you go, you know, here they are, whatever. That stuff will be used against us for sure.
And in the Rotherhams it says, and calling them, they gave them the sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud, nor even to be teaching upon the name of Jesus.
Right. Sound aloud.
It sounds like what's going on.
Right. Yeah, you, well, I mean, hey, whatever your personal stuff is, just keep it to yourself. Don't sound it aloud, right? So, Mike.
To take it back to your comment earlier about them telling us, there's gonna become a point in time when they're just going to say, you will do this. And combining that with Larry's comment about Satan going after the children, just think about how long will it take them to tell us your kids must be in public school?
Exactly. And, these are real things we got to think about, guys, because it's coming. So, I've thought about that, okay? So when it gets to that point, they got to go to public school, so you better be having your own homeschool to unwind and reteach at, because you're going to be forced to do these things. That's the way it is in the Philippines. And so, these are things that are, step by step. It's going to get cranked up step by step. You lose your tax-exempt status, and then these are the way that things are. But the goal is to shut our mouth.
The discipline of children is a hot topic. Obviously, Adrienne Peterson, you saw that happen. But even, Lex is in here, but she was talking about her psychology, and she got pounded by, if you spank your kids, they're going to be murderers and rapists and all this sort of stuff. And that's what's in a public college psychology class. So you see the agenda. But you see, it's being pushed out there. So, that's one thing. You see, what are they doing? They're trying to get that mindset. They're trying. So even if someone does discipline, they're like, well, maybe I shouldn't. Here's the other question I have for you, because there's some metrics that I look out there, and you just hit one that I never thought of. If I can't, have a private education for my children, that would be a big warning flag. Another one is, if I can't say 1 Corinthians 6:9, homosexuals will not be in the kingdom of God. If I can't say that, publicly, or I can't say that that's what God wrote. Those are because at that moment they've curbed freedom of religion. They will now we have a state religion, because that's when you can't hold to the Bible's word of God. Those are flags that are in my mind that I look at and I say, okay, things are going to go south quickly. So here's my question. I asked it to your dad once, and what do you do when that hits? Because later on in Acts, when persecution hits, some people take the hits and other people take off, and it's like, I don't mind going. It's actually kind of nice and warm. So what do we do? Do we stay here and try to subvert and go around the hits, or do we head to?
Can I guess what my dad's answer was?
Sure.
Pray for wisdom.
You hit it dead on. So what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is we do have to pray for wisdom, and we have to mentally prepare. One thing, guys, I don't think we can just go underground everywhere. We have to, these guys didn't say, okay, well, we'll just go home and stay in our own little circle and talk about it. Right. And we're going to see what they go and pray.
Yeah.
They go pray. And then things transpire over the next few chapters of the book of Acts. It doesn't stop here. But they keep on preaching, and then at some point they are forced out. So, yeah.
Mike did an opening on this here a while back, but Jesus in the gospel says, "He who confesses me in front of man, I will also confess him to my Father." If we don't confess Jesus out in the world, then what good are we doing to try and confess it here in the in this building? If we're not going to confess it out in front of man, then we're not doing any good at all. That's where we need to take it to, is out to man.
Right. Yeah, and the purpose here, brethren, is to build each other up so we've got the courage and the confidence to do so. So, all right, where are we at here? Time. I just want to see where I'm at. So this is what they decide in the council. This is what we're going to do. And they had summoned them. They command them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. These are the orders. Okay. What are you going to do with them? Okay. There is a... We'll get into this a little bit last week. As Christians... And there's always a challenge, because I see Christians that go to the anarchy side of things. You know? I don't answer anybody because I'm a free man. And God, hey, Scripture has some stuff to say about that. Okay? But there's some also, we have direct scriptural precedent for when we are told to do stuff counter to God's laws, God's ways, how to respond. And so this is part of the challenge of being in the world but not of it. Being, like Jared was saying, you know, our example, be exemplary in our behavior outside of here. You know, that includes honoring all men, loving the brotherhood, fearing God, and honoring the king. You know, that includes being, you know, even to masters that are unreasonable. You know, to still conducting ourselves respectfully. So this, there's a challenge, and I think I'm thankful again for the book of Acts. We have this example of the brethren who did this. These guys are, they don't start screaming and they don't get on. Their response is, we're gonna see it as it plays out. We have examples, brethren, of how to conduct ourselves in these things. And we do need, I'm appreciative of the feedback because it tells me I'm not the only one that thinks about this kind of stuff. Things are coming. And we gotta think about it. We gotta be ready. And we gotta trust God that He also is gonna help us in those moments. You know, we pray for wisdom, that God's going to help us in that moment to know what to do. You cannot game plan for every situation. But when it comes up, if you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you've been trusting the Lord and you've been working through things, the Lord's going to help you in that moment, you know, make the right read. So, all right, thanks for your attention.